Take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah. We will be going through Isaiah 51 tonight. Last week we went through Isaiah 50, just kind of show you where we are. Isaiah 50 talks about the root of trouble, and it talks about, this is all about Israel, okay? And the reality of it is those who reject Christ are rejected by God. Those people who crucified Christ, the religious leaders back in that day, when they went into eternity, found out that they were wrong. And they were rejected by God. How can you stand in front? How can you see God in the flesh and see all the things and not listen to the message? Oh, that is something that's just terrible to think of. We need to share that with others. But in verse 1, we see that God had not divorced Israel, but Israel had kind of divorced God and their actions. And so God is talking about, he says, look, my covenant relationship is still with you. You show me the divorce papers where I put you away. Didn't do it. You show me the indebtedness papers where I put you into debt. Didn't do it. You did this yourself. Because I, or God, does not break His covenant. And in verses 2 and 3 in review, basically we see the denial of the faithful one. And we know that out of all these prophecies, this is about Christ. In verses 4 through 9, we see the marriage counsel rejected by Israel. And that marriage counselor is Christ. Christ's message is God's truth. He gave the word. He basically preached what God told him, God the Father told him to preach in verses 4 and 5. Christ's treatment was persecution. And we see in Isaiah some of the actual events that happened to Christ in the week of his passion. Then in verses 7 and 9, we see Christ's patience, how to hope in God. And folks, we need to hope in God too. Basically for help before the judgment, i.e. before he went to the cross for justification through the judgment. He did what his Father told him to do. And he, at the end, he said, into my hand, thy hands I'll what? Commend my spirit. And then for victory after the judgment, we can boldly approach the throne of grace. But the issue of this is that the Lord is my helper. I don't care what man can do to me. Because Christ rose. Amen. And I'm just looking forward to Easter. You know, we need to look forward to every Sunday because we're celebrating the Lord's Day. And so, in verses 11 through 10 through 11, we see the choice for reconciliation. You're either for God or you're against Him. It's either yay or nay. You can't straddle the fence. So the chapter ends with this. If you have trust in God, you will have success in verse 10. If you trust in yourselves, it's never going to work out and you're going to get sorrow. So tonight we're going to look at something that is, once again, it's toward the nation of Israel, but it has an application for us. And this is the first of a little series in here on prepare for the servant. And we know that God's servant in Isaiah is who? Christ. Okay? And here's the central theme. In order to find God, you need to look and to be ready to see Him for who He is.
Right.
You know, it's one thing to go to the source, but if you're not listening, if you're not looking, you'll never get the answer. And so, what we see here in verses 1 and 3, we see, firstly, we see a call to follow righteousness. I got the privilege of teaching Bible to the 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. And we talked about this. And the issue is God's will for us is to be conformed to His image. God's will for us is to walk righteously. And so there's a call here to follow righteousness. And here's the clue. You can only be righteous if you're seeking God and following Him. In the first part of verse 1, it says, "Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that what? Seek the Lord." Sunday morning we talked about the chief shepherd. We talked about the sovereign king. Who can ascend to the hill? Who can stand in the presence of God? Those who have what? Pure, clean hands and a pure heart. And we need to see here is that we need three things to do for righteousness. First of all, we need to listen. And we need not just to listen to the words, but we also need to apply it to our lives. The second thing is we need to follow after righteousness. It's one thing to hear something. It's another thing to do it. And then we need to keep Christ always in focus. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things should be added unto you. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Set your affection on things above, not on things that are where Christ sitteth on the what? Right hand of God. So as a call to follow righteousness, you need to listen to God. You can't do righteousness without following God, because He is the only source of righteousness. Then, as he's talking to Israel, he says, look, you need to remember your spiritual heritage. In the last part of verse 1 and then verse 2. He says, you need to go back to your spiritual heritage. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn. You know, when they built the temple, they went to a quarry and they made all the blocks for it. And then they drug them and then they set them in place. We're a building that's fit together. We're hewn out of the same rock. And so what we need to do is we need to understand where we come from. We need to understand our spiritual heritage. There's a lot of people that just put it behind them. You know, Paul even had people that said they were, he says, but a concerning faith was what? Made it shipwreck. So it says, look unto the rock where which ye are hewn into the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. I'm glad God took me out of the hole. I'm glad that Christ has set my feet on a rock. And here it says, look unto, and then he goes to the father of faith, basically, Abraham. Look unto Abraham, your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. Remember, it was Isaac that was the child of promise. It was Isaac that was born to them after it was impossible physically to have that birth. And he said, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. He says, for I called him what? Alone. There's no multiple paths to heaven. There's no multiple paths to faith. There's just one path. There's just one path. For I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. You know, if we follow after righteousness, we'll get blessed. If we follow after righteousness, we will achieve increase. So a call to follow righteousness only by seeking God. Remember your spiritual heritage. You know, we need to be thankful for our salvation every day. Every day is new. His mercies are new every morning. And we need to just thank God. When you wake up in the morning, just thank God for being saved. Thank God that you have an eternity in heaven. He's prepared a place for us. Remember where we are. Remember before we walk out of our door in the morning that we're sanctified. We're set apart to do God's work. We're meet for the Master's use. And then there's the promises of following righteousness. The promises are following righteousness. And I've highlighted them in this verse. It says, for the Lord shall comfort Zion. Okay? Comfort Zion. The first thing is, and I didn't highlight it, is that he's going to comfort you, okay? And then he will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden. Now, Jerusalem was not like that back in Isaiah's time. Christ did not make Jerusalem a garden in the desert in his earthly ministry. You can go over there and look at it now, and even though they've got all this modern technology and everything else, Jerusalem is a place of mess. Okay? It's productive, but it's not like Eden. Okay? It's not like this at all. And so this has got to be what? Future prophecy. What are we looking at here? We're looking at when God restores Israel. And when does God restore Israel? When he comes back the second time. And we come back with him. Okay? So he will make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord. And here's some other things. Joy and gladness shall be found there. You know something? There ought to be the joy of God in our heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Okay? And gladness shall be found therein. And then the next one is thanksgiving and the voice of melody. It's just what Paul talked about, that we're supposed to sing in our hearts hymns and songs and spiritual songs, making melody unto the Lord. See, the Old Testament and New Testament are alike. God's plan is the same. God's plan for Israel is the same as God's plan for us. We're just on... We'll meet there in the end, okay? We'll meet there. It's still by grace and it's still by Christ. So we see this call to follow righteousness in verses 1 through 3. In verses 4 through 6, and this is the theme of the Old Testament, this is the theme of the New Testament, this is the theme of the entire Bible. It's a call to salvation. God's going to send his son to die on the cross, to be buried, to rise again the third day for salvation of mankind. God wants to restore broken relationships. He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. See, salvation can only come from God. I just heard today about, it was a documentary last night on Benjamin Franklin. Now, I think Benjamin Franklin was a deist, okay? But he understood there's a God. Just knowing that there's a God doesn't get you to heaven. The Bible says in James that thou believest in one God, thou doest well. The devils also what? Believe and tremble. So just as I know there's a God in heaven, that's not good enough. You need a Savior. So in verse 4 here it says, hearken unto me, my people. What did Christ tell the people? I am the way, the truth, and the life. What did John the Baptist say? He says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And then he points to Jesus and says, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Hearken unto me, my people. So this is once again to Israel. And give ear unto me, O my nation, for a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light to the people. Earlier in Isaiah, in chapter 43, verse 11, he says, I am the what? The Lord. And beside me, there's what? No Savior. God had a plan for salvation. And it's God's way or no way. It's not man's way. So we see this call to salvation only from God in verse 4. We see the promise of salvation in verses 5 and 6. He says, my righteousness is near. My salvation is gone forth. And my arms shall judge the people. The isle shall wait upon me. And on mine arm shall they trust. Okay? This is, once again, Millennium Kingdom type stuff. But it applies. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke. 1 Peter chapter 3 talks about that. Okay? And the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall what? Die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. See, the promise of salvation to Israel through Isaiah's day, Christ's day, Abraham's day, Moses' day, today, the promise of salvation to us is near. Seek ye the Lord when he may be found. Call on him while he is what? Near. Have you called on Christ? He's near. He's here. Where two or three are gathered in His name. He's in the midst. He's here tonight. He's near. And if you're not saved, you need to get saved. And then lastly, we see here as a promise of salvation, God's not an Indian giver. It's not a temporary salvation. It's an eternal salvation. People that read this should have been happy. People that read this should have known when Christ came on the scene that He was the Messiah. But they didn't. The world today, Christ is near. Salvation is near. Way to salvation through God is near. Same thing. The world today doesn't care. Doesn't care. Verses 7 and 8, we see a call to follow God's law. See, following God can only come from the heart. It can only come from the heart. Verse 7, it says, "Hearken to me, ye that what?
Know
righteousness." Okay, so how do you know righteousness? If you know righteousness, you must know Jesus. You must know God. There's no other righteousness any other way. So he that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is what? My law. I've hid thy law in my heart that I may not what? Sin against thee. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of the reviling. See, a call to follow God's heart is in a heart where the law of God is hidden. We cannot serve God from an intellectual sense. You must serve God from the heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of the what? Out of it are the issues of life. Secondly, where the fear of reproach is driven from. Where the fear of reproach is driven away. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 6 says this, "So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." You know how not to fear men? Make God your helper and know it from your heart. From your heart. So a call to follow God's law only from the heart in verse 7. The promise of following God's law that there's no judgment. Okay? There's no judgment. In verse 8 it says, "For the moth shall eat them up like a garment." Have you ever had something eaten up by a moth and have holes in it? Okay? How do you fix that? With cedar, right? But the issue is, it says, "For the moth shall eat them what? Up like a garment. And the worm shall eat them like wood." But, you know, I'm always so happy about all the buts in the Bible. And said, this is what it is, but my righteousness shall be, everybody say it, forever. And my salvation from what? From generation to generation. See, there's no judgment here. Romans 8 verse 1 says this, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in" who? Christ Jesus. But then it goes a little step further. Actually lives that life. "Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Yes, you can still sin after you get saved. But the judgment of God's on you to get right. Your eternity is sealed, but you need to be right. The problem, the issue with Isaiah, why was Isaiah sent? To get them right. You know why? Because judgment's coming. Captivity's coming. It's 100 years off, but it's coming. Folks, today, judgment's coming. The tribulation is coming. Christ is coming back. I can't tell you when it's going to happen, but I could tell you it's closer today than it was yesterday. And I could tell you that you need to be ready for it. And so we need to understand that we need to follow God's law. What is His law? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Because I guarantee you, as I told the Bible classes, if you can love God like that, you'll do what the law says you need to do. You won't think of stealing. You won't think of lying. You won't think of killing. You won't think of wanting somebody else's stuff. You won't think of disrespecting God. It wouldn't even come in your mind. You wouldn't think about missing church. It wouldn't even come in your mind because you love God that much. So there's a call to follow God's law. Verses 9 through 16, we see a call to God for action. God does not work in our lives unless we cry out to Him. Go read the Psalms. Read Jeremiah. Read Nehemiah. Read all the men of God. Look at Hebrews 11. Verses 9 and 10. Awake. Awake. Put on strength, O arm of the Lord. What is this? God's already got the strength, right? Who's crying out here? We are. The people. Israel was. Okay? Awake as in the ancient days. As in the ancient, in the generations old. Art thou not it that hath cut Rahab and wounded the dragon? Art thou not it which doth drieth the sea, the waters of the great deep that made the depths of the sea away for the what? Ransomed to pass over. You know what we need to do, folks? We need to get back to the cross. You know what we need to do? We need to remember what God's done in the past. You know, He hasn't changed. Maybe we have. Remember when you got saved, you had all this zeal? And then as time goes on, kind of wanes a little bit. That's what Israel was doing. They were backsliding. See, we need to cry back out to Him and get His deliverance. The results of God's action in life found in verses 11 through 16. First of all, God's main action is to redeem. We saw that in the previous verse. It says, for the ransomed to pass over. We can't get to heaven. We can't buy our way out of our sin debt. Christ had to do that for us. Okay? In Isaiah 51 verse 11, therefore, here's a song. Therefore, let the dream of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. That's a song. Okay? Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return. Okay? And come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head, and they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Hasn't happened yet. When's this going to happen? When Christ establishes the 1,000-year reign in Jerusalem. And all of Israel's gathered from the four corners of the earth and they're brought back home. But you know something? Aren't we redeemed? Aren't we redeemed? Shouldn't we return to Him? Shouldn't we come to singing in His presence? Shouldn't we have everlasting joy in our life? You know? And so, don't we see God's gladness and joy? And sorrow and mourning shall flee away. It doesn't mean that we won't have trouble. It doesn't mean that we won't cry in our life. It doesn't mean that we won't feel sad at times. But we have God.
Amen.
Who's greater, who's going to get us through all that stuff. So results of God's action, first of all, is redemption. Second, it is comfort. Verse 12, even I am He that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die? Remember what's going on historically in the northern kingdom. They're already gone. They've already been taken over by the Assyrians. Remember what's happening now in Judah. They had Sennacherib come with the Assyrian army and God spared them of here. So they're seeing all these enemies. The northern kingdom initially in Isaiah was trying to attack them too. What's this? So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do to me. I, even I, am He that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the Son of Man which shall be made as grass? See, we need to understand where our priorities lie and where and who we need to follow. We need to follow God.
Amen.
So the results of God's actions, first of all, is redemption. Verse 12, it's comfort. Verses 13 through 14, it's deliverance. Now, what had happened here is that Israel had forgotten. And they were scared of all these kings. Instead of praying to God, they would take the gold out of the temple and pay off the enemy. And see, they forgot. They forgot. And so God's calling them out. And forgettest the Lord thy Maker, that hath stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and has feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressor? Where is it going to be when Christ comes back? It's gone. It's not there. Verse 14, the captive exile hasteneth that he may be loosed, and that he should not die in the pit, nor that his bread should fail. Folks, we need to understand that Christ has redeemed us and he's comforted us. And we need to have Christ break the chains that's binding us. We're no longer the servants of sin if we follow what? Righteousness. In Romans 6, it says, you're either the servants of righteousness or you're servants of sin. And you're the servants to whom you yield yourselves, servants to obey. So this is a call to Israel to turn to him. God's not going to deliver them until they get right. Okay? God's not going to deliver us until we get right. Until we say, I'm tired of these chains. I'm tired of being bound up. And I want liberty. And I want freedom. The fourth thing is protection. Verses 15 and 16. It says, but I am the Lord thy God that divideth the sea, whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts, or the Lord of armies, is his name. And I have put my words in thy mouth, Christ's mouth, okay? And I have covered thee in the shadow of mine hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion, thou art my people. See, Israel and the church are two different entities. In the end, we will all be one because God is one. And the point is that we understand that these promises are to Israel, and God doesn't break his promises. And so he's going to do this. I just can't imagine. It blows my mind. In hindsight, knowing the mistakes that they made when Christ was present. But you know something? It also blows my mind when I look back in my life and I see opportunities where I saw Christ moving and I ignored it. And I didn't do it. See, we're no different than them. And the message to Israel is the same as the message to us. And so God will give us redemption. God will give us comfort. God will give us deliverance. God will give us protection. And then the last section here is a call to Jerusalem for action. See, God has done everything he needs to do. The question is, what does Israel need to do? God's done everything for us. The question is, what do we need to do? The first thing is that nothing gets done unless somebody does something. Nothing gets done rightly unless people do right things. And right actions do not occur unless we stand up for righteousness.
Right.
In verse 17, awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem, which has drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of fury. How many times has Jerusalem been judged? A lot. How many times have they had people come in because the enemy come in because of their lack of faith? A lot. Jerusalem is not a peaceful city. Awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem, which has drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of His fury. Thou hast drunken the dregs of the cup, or the bottom of it, of the cup of trembling. You know, the issue is that you start drinking something and you don't like it, and it doesn't taste to you. What should you do? Stop. But here's what they've done, is they just keep on drinking it all the way to the bottom. And it wasn't good to the last drop either. Okay? And it says here, they drunken the dregs of the cup of trembling and wrung them out. As if it wasn't enough, they looked for more. How long would they backslide from God? Question, how long would we backslide? What would it take for God to get our attention? You know, I just don't understand why all these things are happening to me. Thought about looking up? How much judgment must one go through to wake up? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34, awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Oh, there was a call for Jerusalem to action. There should be a call for us to action. Right actions do not occur unless we stand up. So I'm going to do this. Secondly, right actions do not occur unless we follow the right leader. In verses 18 through 20 says, there is none to guide her among all the sons whom she hath brought forth. In a physical sense. It's not going to be there. Neither is there any that taketh her by the hand of all the sons that she hath brought up. See, we look for answers inside of ourselves when we need to look for answers outside to God. We try to depend upon ourselves or a friend. Where does our trust go to? God. Verse 19, these two things are come unto thee. Who shall be sorry for thee? Desolation and destruction, and the famine and the sword. By whom shall I comfort thee? Thy sons have what? Fainted. They lie at the head of all the streets. As a wild bull in a net, they are full of the fury of the Lord, the rebuke of thy God. You know why they were there? Because they were following the wrong people. They were following false prophets. They were following false gods. They were following false truth. They were following leaders that promised them stuff and then didn't deliver. Isn't that what's happening in the world today? Keep on saying that this is very relevant to our world today.
Right.
See, right actions do not occur unless we follow the right leader. If you're not following God, guess what's going to happen? Desolation and destruction. Famine and the sword. So, right actions do not occur unless we stand up. Right actions do not occur unless we follow the right leader. And then lastly, and I'll close with this. Right actions lead to spiritual freedom. In verses 21 through 23, it says, Therefore, hear now this, thou afflicted and drunken, but not with wine. So the issue is that, do we have some issues in our lives right now that we've been struggling with? Are there things that are binding us that we haven't gotten victory over, or we just can't find our way out of? And you're like the woman that had the infirmity, the issue of blood for 12 years. What did she do? She went to every doctor that she could go to. She spent every dime that she had. And she didn't find a cure. In fact, the Bible says that she was worse because of it. And so, therefore, hear now this, thou afflicted and drunken, but not with wine. Thus saith the Lord, thy Lord, the Lord. Is the Lord truly your Lord? This is what he said. Thus saith the Lord, thy Lord, the Lord. It only works when you put him first. And thy God that pleadeth the cause of his people. Behold, I have taken out of thy hand the cup of trembling, even the dregs of the cup of my fury. Thou shalt no more drink it again. Okay, in the tribulation period, what happens? All of the stuff that was judgment on Israel is being taken and being judged on the world because of what? Their sin. Israel has a choice. They have a choice to follow the world. Or they have a choice to follow the what? The witnesses that God sends them. I guarantee you when this happens, they're going to be reading Isaiah. They're going to be reading Ezekiel. There will be a lot of people reading Daniel. And they're going to find out, boy, we messed up. Because Zechariah says what? They'll look on him whom they what? Pierced. But what God's going to do is he's going to take the judgment that he's been trying to get his people to understand and to come back to righteousness, and he's going to pour it out on the enemies. Now, in a near-term sense, this is what's going to happen to Babylon. Why did Israel go into captivity in the first place? Because they wouldn't repent. And God gave them chance after chance after chance after chance. He sent prophet after prophet after prophet. The one that's going to follow now is Jeremiah. And he's going to say the exact same thing. And then they're going to go into captivity. And then the people that conquered Israel said, ha ha, look at us. Look at us. We're so much. That was God's chosen people, and we just wasted them. And what is God going to do? He said, I allowed this to happen. And the same judgment that I allowed you to do it on Jerusalem as my instrument, I'm going to give to you because of your failure to follow me. You know, it happened to the Persians. It happened to the Greeks. It happened to the Romans. It'll happen today too. And he says, but I will put it into the hand. What? The cup of judgment. I'm going to take the cup of judgment from Jerusalem and from Israel, and I'm going to give it to the Gentiles. And he says, and I will put it into the hand of them that afflict thee, which has said to thy soul, bow down that we may go over. And thou hast laid thy body on the ground and on the street to them that went over. See, Babylon showed no mercy when they took Jerusalem and they took Judah. God's not going to show no mercy to their kingdom when they fall 70 years after that to the Persians. God's not going to show mercy to anyone who rejects God. And so the question is tonight, are you prepared? Are we prepared for Christ to come? Israel wasn't. Christ came, lived his life, died on the cross, and they missed the entire thing. We have God's Word, Old Testament and New Testament. We preach Christ. He's coming back. Amen. Same situation. Christ said, are you ready? Are you ready? We sing the song. Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? It's coming. Let God be your Redeemer tonight. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I ask for you this time of invitation. Father, just search our hearts and help us, Lord, just to follow you. Lord, if someone does not know you as Savior, Lord, tonight, I pray that they would call out to you, ask for forgiveness of sins, understand that you died on the cross, you were buried and rose again, and that you have the power to forgive sins and to save them. And Lord, that they would cry out to you and ask you to save them. Lord, help us, Lord, to turn from our ways, Lord, and just follow you as the redeemed, the ransomed, and that we would live a life worthy of your calling. We thank you and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.